Grace and peace be unto you from the one who was and who is to come, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, how many of you have ever lived in military housing? Oh, okay, you scared me there for a minute. I was hoping that at least a few would raise a hand. Military housing. How many of you have lived in military housing? Now, I as a child, I lived there too, but I don't remember this. But I've heard stories that I want to confirm with you whether they're true or not. At the other congregation that I serve, some military families, I don't know if this was unique to the Navy or not, but they talk about an infamous white glove. That sounds familiar? A white glove? You know what the white glove was? Would you mind telling us what the white glove was about,
Ms. Well, Nidra? My husband was from the Naval Academy, and when we first married, he said, I will check the house. And I said, how? He said, with my white glove. And he went above the door sills, he went into the P-lock, and then he said, that's how they did it.
Well, and I heard that that was not just unique to your husband. I heard that that is the inspections that they would do.
Yes.
If you were in military housing, I hear that there would be somebody that would come to your house and would check if it was clean. Yes?
Not only housing, but I lived in the Army's barracks, and they had the same inspection for those days.
So in the Army barracks, they would do the same thing? Okay. So what they would do is not just check to make sure that everything was organized and clean, but they would even put on a white glove and then go over the doors and in hiding places, hidden places. Right? Now, what I am not clear about this, whether this was announced or whether this was a surprise. Did they announce ahead of time that there was going to be an inspection?
Sometimes.
Okay, so at least sometimes it was announced, sometimes it was not, which meant that you had to be ready, right? So I suppose that for many people this was a source of anxiety, mostly for the partner that was staying home, taking care of getting things clean. But it could also be a source of excitement, because if you were really good at cleaning, you want to show off what you have done, right? Now, if you have never had that experience of living in a military home, maybe you have had this out of the experience. Have you ever seen a child the night before Christmas, how they wait for Christmas? Have you ever had to wake up a child the morning of Christmas? Probably not. They wake up on their own. You probably have to ask them to go back to bed, whether that's your grandchild or whether that's your son, nephew or niece, or it doesn't matter, but you have to ask them to go back to bed. They are so excited about what's going to happen the morning of Christmas. I have never seen a child dread the morning of Christmas. I've heard about the tradition that if you have not been good, you get a lump of coal, right? But I've never seen a child dread the morning of Christmas. What I did hear was of a child that booby-trapped the living room for Santa. I heard that a child put some hidden cameras. You know how now there are even toy cameras. So apparently the Christmas prior to that one, the child had received some video cameras. And so the child hid some cameras that were motion activated to catch Santa. Now for the children that are listening to me, I hear that if you do that, you get no toys. So I don't know if that's true or not, but I wouldn't risk it. So the children are eager. They're expecting for that morning. They're waiting for something, for a gift. In the case of the military families, they are not so eager, but they are also expecting the arrival of somebody. Obviously, that is what Advent is about. That is what the main theme of the season of Advent in the church is about. It's about waiting. Advent means the coming of somebody. And what we are waiting for is the coming of Messiah, the coming of Christ, what the Bible calls the parousia or the parousia, the second coming of the Christ. And the time of Advent is a time to prepare for that coming, because the very same event can be dreadful for some and exciting for others, depending on how you have prepared. I've also heard, I think this one I heard at the Lively Saints luncheon, of somebody that woke up in the morning, well, was woken up in the morning by his mother. And the mother said that, you know, it was late and you have to get up to go to school. And this person said, I'm sorry, I don't want to go to school. And the mother said, why not? And then he said, well, because children don't like me at school, because I don't like it at school, and because I want to sleep. Give me a good reason why I have to go to school. And then the mother said, well, because you're the principal. So that's why you have to go to school. You see, there are things that we expect with dread, and there are things that we expect with excitement, depending on how we have prepared for that thing that we are expecting. So Advent is a time for us to prepare for the advent of Messiah. It is a time for us to prepare for the coming of the Christ. Now, again, it can be an experience of dread. The readings that we heard today are a warning that this can be a dreadful happening for those that are not prepared. But it can also be an exciting time for those that have been journeying for a transformation of things, for those that have been journeying for justice, for peace, for harmony. Because it's not just the coming of Messiah, the way that Superman would come flying, or if you have been in Disney, the way that they have the characters flying around. But it is really a transformation of the world, a fulfillment of the world. It's not just that the Messiah comes, but it's that things are transformed. Now, we have a great imagination, and we think about the coming of the Messiah in very colorful ways. But we need to remember that the first time that the Messiah came, while we commemorate in Christmas, everybody was surprised. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody would have imagined that it was going to happen in a stinky manger, in a very humble place. And so I would not be surprised if we are surprised by the way that Christ comes the second time. As a matter of fact, when we read the rest of the Gospel of Matthew, we realize that the return of Christ is not so much a return as it is a revelation that he had never left, that he has always been with us all along. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Well, how do we prepare for Advent? How do we prepare for the coming of Messiah? How do we prepare for the coming of Christ, not just to the world, but to our souls? Well, I think that there's a good model in the way that we prepare to receive guests. We just had Thanksgiving, and I suppose that many of you either received guests or were received as guests somewhere. And what are some of the things that we do to prepare to receive guests? Please tell me, what do you do to prepare? There's some cooking involved. Well, maybe I should not make you say this, but I suppose there's some decluttering that happens, that there's some cleaning, some opening space. Maybe you have a guest room, but in the meanwhile, it has become more a storage room. And now you have to open it up so that it becomes, again, a guest room. You have to make space for the guests. You have to open space for the guests. And I believe that that is what Advent is about. It is an opportunity for us to open space in our souls for the guest that is the Messiah, that is the Christ, that promises to come to us, not only in the big return, but also in the small returns in the meanwhile, that Christ comes to us and surprises us by coming into our souls. Now, there's some things that I think that we can do to prepare. Now, this is not works righteousness. I'm not saying these are things we need to do in order to be saved. That was something that Christ took care of. But I think that in order to open up space, we need to throw things away. Somebody has told me about the three-month rule. If you have not seen it or need it in 3 months, toss it, because you really don't need it. Otherwise, you are just accumulating. Some people say 2 years. Depends on your preference. So we need to get rid of things that are not helpful, or that maybe once were helpful, but not anymore. We have a lot of junk that we accumulate in our soul. I think that we need to open that door this season of Advent and examine some things that we have there that we don't need any longer. I think that we need to get rid of some pain that we have been carrying around, that maybe was valid, maybe something bad happened, but it doesn't fulfill any function any longer. We need to get rid of that pain. I think that we need to look at the regrets that we carry. We all carry regrets. So we need to examine those regrets and then let them go, toss them away. I think that we have to take something that happens a lot in Thanksgiving, when we remember what somebody did to me, or the disagreements that we have had with somebody, and we need to examine that as well and throw it away and start opening space for Messiah. Now, sure, we're going to have to do the same again next Advent, but that's how we are, humans. We should do it anyway. We should clear space. And for some people, it is helpful to actually engage in physical actions symbolizing this process. I learned from the Japanese something they call misogi, where they do a cleaning of the space. And as they're cleaning the space, they're purifying their soul in that way. They're throwing away actual things. And with those things, they're imagining how they're cleaning their soul. Or there are people that like to polish mirrors. You know, if the mirror is not clean, it does not reflect back well who you are, what you look like. It reflects back a lie. So you need to polish the mirror. You need to clean it from all those things that are not part of the image. And as you're polishing the mirror, physically polishing the mirror, you are also polishing your soul. You're cleaning your soul of those things that do not allow it to reflect back your true self, the beautiful self that God has created you to be. So I recommend that during the season of Advent, you choose whatever works better for you. I'll be choosing one for me as well, so that we open up space in our souls for the coming of Messiah. But there's more. There's one more thing. Because this is an eager expectation. With the coming of the Messiah, we do not only open up a space, but we are transformed. I remember when the president of the U.S. visited Puerto Rico, they anticipated what roads he was going to go through, and they were transformed. They looked like nothing that they had looked before. They were made clean. They were all beautiful, except he went through a different route. He tricked them. And so when we are expecting somebody, things get transformed. Not only do they get open up, like the room gets open up, but we make it beautiful. We beautify it. Well, the same thing when there are concerts. Some time ago, I was walking in D.C., and as I was walking near a theater, I saw all these girls with really, really red lips, big lips. And I was very curious, so I asked around. And then I discovered that there's a famous YouTuber. That's what they do now, YouTuber. The girls follow a lot, and that's her trademark. And so the girls had dressed themselves like her. Well, maybe you have not heard of Miranda, but maybe you remember times when some famous singers, there are still people that dress up like Elvis Presley. I suppose that when he was coming, you know, you see the hairs of people change. And when the Beatles were famous, I know that the pants that people wore changed, you know, the bell-bottom pants people start wearing. And so they do not only imitate them, but they kind of like become them, right? They embody the artist that they are expecting. So in the same way, not only do we open space for Messiah in our souls, but we're so excited about the coming of Messiah. We're so excited about the coming of the fulfillment of the promises of God that we, as Paul says in the reading for today, we put on Christ. We become transformed into Christ. We become transformed into that which we expect. And as Luther said, in doing so, we become like little Christ for our neighbors. And so Christ comes to our neighbor in us, and Christ comes to us in our neighbor. May we feel the joy of the expectation of the coming of Christ. Amen.